you can take away your nice, you know, car, your beautiful designer, whatever, but what's in someone's heart matters most. And I think it's getting to a level of maturity and evolving past that.
Welcome to the podcast where we dive in on relationships, love, lust, dating, science, philosophy, psychology, everything and everything, because it matters, it all relates. And if you're listening to this here on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell button so you don't have to look for another episode again. Spotify gets our updates too, iTunes as well. Subscribe, leave a five-star review, and tell a friend about the show, okay? That's all we charge for this show, is to tell a friend. But I have a very special guest with me today. I'm super excited to dive in this conversation just because we're both, I guess, in the same kind of niche. We do the kind of same similar things, but you're more focused with women, I'm more focused with men. And so I thought this conversation was going to be a really, really good one, and we could dive in on, you know, how you got started and all that, and, you know, things like that. But, you know, first, I just want to dive in and ask you, like, how has your business been since this coronavirus? Has it been jumping up like crazy? Have there been people reaching out to you just because they're dying together in quarantine, or they're having fun?
Yeah.
Like, whatever the case is, let's start right there, and then we'll talk a little bit about how you got started.
For sure. Well, thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm honored to be on it. Right now, with everything going on, I find that a lot of my clients may be experiencing more conflicts with their partners, social distancing together. So, or a lot of couples that maybe had underlying issues, they didn't really want to, you know, necessarily resolve them or look into them. They're kind of coming to surface right now. So I've had, you know, maybe more people than usual reach out and are confused if they want to stay in their relationship or not. So that's been a common trend. Another trend is people a little bit confused on how to continue dating while social distancing, how to continue keeping the spark alive and the excitement alive and the communication going when you can't physically meet up in person. So those are some of the barriers that I've been dealing with, the clientele that's been coming my way.
That's awesome. And I love that because I'm not necessarily like a dating expert, so to say. So that's kind of like, you know, it's exciting to hear about these things, because like my forte is like helping people get over divorce and heartbreak and separations and stuff like that. So it's kind of neat to hear the other end of the flip side of that. So let's dive in though on how you kind of got into this world. Like, dial the clock back however you want, but like how did you get involved with relationships specifically? I know you're a coach or a life coach as well, but like, why the relationship side of things? Why is that so important to you?
For sure. So I'll go a little bit back here. So in my early 20s, I went to Simon Fraser University. I got my degree in social sciences, and I start my first job out of university was working for the provincial government in Canada. I'm Canadian. You are as well. So the provincial government in BC, and basically my clientele was working with families that were experiencing, you know, adversity, low socioeconomic families, and also women fleeing domestic abuse. So it hit a soft spot for me to really want to help people during that time. However, with government, you're only confined to, you know, how much you can help people based on legislation. So I wanted to leave government and create my own, you know, life coaching business to help women, empower women. I also have a background of acting and modeling. I was a freelance actor and model for different parts of my life. I grew up kind of behind the scenes of the industry because my dad works in it. So I always felt this, you know, this sense of being judged on your appearance as a female, and men too. But in that industry, it's a very vain industry and you have to have really thick skin. So my mission when I left government was to, you know, create a business to empower women, to help women in life and in relationships because of the experience in government with domestic abuse. In saying that, I went and got certified as a life coach, did the whole schooling for that. And ironically, when I was launching my business, I went through my own breakup of a 4-year relationship. So I was 30, single, and most of my friends were in long-term relationships, had, you know, children, were married. And I find that sometimes when you go through a breakup, women can either be like, yes, I'm single, like I got this, women empowerment, or you can be, oh my God, I'm single. And for me, it was so ironic because I'm trying to empower women, but I couldn't really empower myself at that time. And I had to take a step back. So I put the business on hold. I did other forms of employment. I went back, I went to the corporate world for a couple of years, and re-entering the dating scene, you know, in my 30s, getting over a, you know, a challenging breakup, you learn a lot about yourself. The last time I was single, I was 25, right? So in that process, in that journey, I decided to shift the business to coach people, men and women, in dating, that are dating and in relationships. And I relaunched the business about 8 months ago, and that's basically where I'm at right now.
Yeah, so much to dive in there. I mean, it's interesting to actually, I want to dive in on the domestic abuse stuff. I know it was mm-hmm. your past job or whatever, and you can share whatever you like. But the domestic violence thing is, it's really crucial to, I guess, the healing process for a lot of people, so that they don't make the same mistakes, or they don't attract the same partners into their life, or basically, you know, that process is tough. So where did you sit in between them and that process? Like, where were you, were you trying to, I guess, give them tools, more tactical tools and options? Or was it more of just like a legislative process, like you were yeah, kind of alluding to before?
For sure. So what they would do is they would apply for support through the government. So they'd have to say that they were fleeing a, you know, it could be verbally, emotionally, just an abusive, unsafe situation. They would come to us either in person or remote, and we would process them to see if they're eligible for funding through the government. If that's the case, then we'd set them up with resources within the community, safe houses, female and women shelters, and so forth. But you can only do so much. So you can issue somebody a check and say, go here, this is what you're going to do. But you can't really go up and above. So social services is different than social work. Social work is, you know, more going to the family houses, doing visits, making sure child safety and everything like that. Social services is setting you up with essential services through government funding to make sure you're set up and you're safe to exit. But that's where kind of the line was drawn. And I'm helping people here. I'm helping people here, but like, are they really okay? Are they actually okay? Are they actually safe? Because I hear these stories and these applications and women coming to me crying, and, you know, some of them would be, you know, beat up, or they would look, you know, very distraught. They can't even make eye contact with you. You know that they're, you know, they've been living that role for a long time, but you can't, in my position, I couldn't go any further.
Yeah, and I guess that's, and that makes me wrap my head around what you did, and it makes the connection of why you're doing what you do now, because like, it's a business centered around specifically that, like the tactical advice, rather than, you know, here's a bunch of money, here's a bunch of services, go and do what you got to do with that. And I find that admirable to step away from, because, you know, I think we are limited, you know, to those things if we step into those kinds of roles, especially social services, right? And so, like, I, you know, people with, I guess, A-type personalities, they're just like, you know what, F this, I know what's right, I'm gonna make a bigger impact, and in the way that I know that I can. And so I find that really admirable for you to do that. So I love that. Yeah, okay, so we'll segue a little bit now, because like, I wanted to just shed light on the domestic abuse stuff, because like, I mean, I do have some women come to me in my DMs and they ask me about, you know, abusive relationships and stuff like that. And it's always good to shed light on that topic. I always say I'm not the guy, you know, I always say like, I'm not like, that's not my forte, but it's always good to have somebody that we can talk about this with. So it's good that your door's open for that. So I guess we'll segue a little bit now. We'll go into the dating side of things. And I'm really, really curious about this, because, you know, I'm single, I'm dating, and then things like that. And so, you know, I'm always curious as to like what women struggle with, you know, personally, when they're back, putting themselves back out there. Like, let's say they're, you know, already out of the relationship, they're healed, you know, and they're already ready to go. It's just like, what are they struggling with outside of the healing part? Like, it's you know, a lot of these questions come up from even the men who go out there after divorce and things like that. So like, share with us you know, one or two things that like women are just struggling with right now, so that we can kind of understand them a little bit better, and then maybe you know, maybe just kind of you know, merge the gap or something like that.
For sure. So women, one of the main complaints I get from a lot of women is inconsistent communication. So going on the apps, you know, we live in a day and age where people can flirt, you know, in their underwear eating Cheetos on their couch, right? Like there's no barriers. It's like the amount of chivalry has kind of died down to a certain degree. So one of the main complaints is inconsistent communication, so that, you know, they'll match with somebody on Hinge or Bumble or Tinder or what have you. And it's like, hey girl, what's up? How's it going? Blah, 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 talking for like a day. And then they just kind of go cold. Or, you know, it's like maybe also another thing is dating burnout, where you're talking to so many people at the same time and you can't really navigate through, you know, who's great and who's not. So it can be information overload, inconsistent communication, and just people not really taking online dating as seriously. So I find another thing is with my clients, women that have been out of the dating world for a long time, and haven't, you know, have been foreign to it. And they're all of a sudden, say the last time they were single, you know, Facebook just came out and razor phones were the thing, you know? So now they're like, what is this? What is online dating? How do I do this? So, you know, it can be very frustrating, overwhelming, because, you know, people think that, okay, online dating, they want to take me on a date and they want to take me on this, where online dating, it's not really meant to, you know, secure you for, you know, a lifelong partner. It's meant to kind of get your feet wet and get you out there and talking to people. So I find another thing is with a lot of my clients is they tend to laser focus and get very, very detailed on one person, where I always tell my clients, just use it more casually, right? Use it more casually. Don't take it so, so seriously. Leave your options open and create really strong boundaries when you're online dating. So for example, you know, not being on the app 8 hours a day, only using the app between, you know, 6 to 9 p.m. or something, you know, limiting to how many times you're actually going to go on physical dates. You know, don't go on 4 dates a month. Be like, okay, I will go on 2 dates or 3 dates with these, this 3 men or what, 3 females, whatever it is. And that's it. You have to put taps on it, because if you don't, you can get something called dating burnout, which is a very, very, very hard thing to go through sometimes.
For sure. So I'm guilty a little bit there. I do go through some of that as well, where, you know, it could get overwhelming for me, where I'm just like, man, I have my own work. And then when I open up the app, I'm like, there's like tons of messages. And I'm just like, how do I like, you know, navigate that? And that, and I guess that's where the problem is, you know, with women, is that the inconsistency in communication, because like I said, I'm guilty, right? I can't go out and say I haven't done that. So that's it's interesting to note that. Curious though, if there were some truths to online dating, would you say, you know, obviously one of them would be like, you know, some people aren't taking it that seriously. What other like online dating truths, or maybe even fallacies that we can just talk about here, so that if somebody's either in that stage right now of online dating, like what are some things that they should look out for?
I would say, so for example, it's kind of hard right now because of the social distancing, but I always say to my clients that you're not on online dating to have a pen pal. You're doing online dating to actually meet in person, right? So if you're talking to somebody, you know, for a week, and there's no talk to actually go on a physical date, meet in person, and they're kind of not really, you know, securing that with you, maybe, first of all, I would just ask them, like, are we gonna meet up? A lot of women are scared to put themselves out there. And I'm like, just ask them, you're on an app. The worst they can say is no. And if they say no, thank you, you have an answer, right? So, but if there's no actual plans to meet in real life, I would take that as possibly like a red flag, because maybe they're unsure, maybe they're just testing the app out themselves, maybe they could possibly be in a relationship and they're being sneaky, right? So people that are online dating, they're actually serious about meeting someone, will meet in real life.
Yeah, I love that. And it's such a, something that we overlook, you know, really, you know, we think we're doing the right thing. So a guy will go open the app, he'll, you know, message this girl for like every day for like freaking a week, because that's what we think that they want or whatever, and then, you know, she ghosts you, and then it's just like, what was I doing wrong? And it's like, okay, dude, like, you have to be putting in, you know, that effort to keep, you know, I guess that spark there, because you guys obviously match, there's a spark. Now you have to escalate and maybe do a FaceTime video or voice notes or or like an actual date, like an in-person meetup. So yeah, it's interesting that, like, you know, like what we think is normal is actually the wrong methodology, and a lot of people are making mistakes. So I love that. I love sharing dating tips, because like I said, I don't really go into that world per se. Like, I have other friends and people that I can digest their content and, you know, whatever, but it's just interesting to dive into these things, because myself as kind of like a guinea pig, so to say, for this whole world, right? It's tough for me. Like I said, like, when people find out what I do, they're just like, am I gonna be like a screenshot on your podcast or like something like weird, or you know, there's always like weird thought in their back of their mind. It's tough for me out there, it really is. And okay, no, that's cool. Let's go to the next one. I have a bunch of questions here, obviously, that I want to ask you, because like it's cool to have this conversation again with, you know, other relationship coaches and experts, and just to debate ideas or to bring light to certain topics. So I'm curious though, in your own journey, like your personal journey, like what's changed? So I mean, you mentioned that you had a relationship that it didn't go too well. And so was there a point where you're like, okay, I was doing something personally that maybe attracted this partner, or that I chose this partner? Is there something that you do differently now that you've kind of, I guess, like, do you know what I'm trying to get at?
So I'm in a relationship right now, a happy relationship right now, but the last breakup that I went through, I met the person when I was 26 and I was doing, you know, modeling still. I just finished a pageant in Las Vegas, and, you know, he was about 5 years older than me. And I think I was really blinded by like materiality at the time, right? I was young, I was a little bit immature. I thought flashy things and shiny things were attractive, and that's not going against who he is as a person. But I feel like, you know, that played a big role when I was younger. Whereas when you evolve as a human being and you realize, you know, relationships and what matters most is what's inside someone's heart, right? You can take away your nice, you know, car, your beautiful designer, whatever, but what's in someone's heart matters most. And I think it's getting to a level of maturity and evolving past that's something I learned.
That's beautiful. You know, having the epiphany and realizing, you know, like I myself went and had my own epiphany where I was just like, okay, I'm valuing the wrong things. You know, like I'm placing things higher than normal than what it should be balanced out as. And so, yeah, I had to, you know, rework things myself in that kind of arena. And so it's been an interesting ride, I'd say. I still like material things. I can't lie. I mean, but do I weigh them as much as I did before? Mm-hmm. Probably not, right? And so yeah, like that's another thing to kind of, I guess, take into consideration there for anybody kind of listening. So yeah, no, this is all great. I mean, for me, the problems that I run into is time. Mm-hmm. I'd love to have multiple dates with multiple women, but it's just timing. So that's you know, I guess, an insight for you to share with other your clients, that, you know, sometimes the guy's busy. You know, he genuinely is busy. It's not that he's not replying you. He genuinely is like super, super busy. So okay, cool. Let's segue a little bit. Where are we at? Okay, so we're at 20 minutes right now. It's kind of cool. I guess, like, you've never been married, you have no kids. What's your take on that right now? Like, what's your take on family? Do you ask your clients what they view on that, or is it something that you kind of instill on them? Like, do you believe family is something that should be instilled, or is that something that you just you kind of veer away from, and you just focus on more of like the dating and relationship aspect of things?
Yeah, we definitely talk about children. Most of my clients I work with that are single and dating, you know, I work with a lot of women that are at that age where they feel the pressures of the biological clock, right? So as women, especially happened with me as well, when I went through that last breakup, you have this, you know, the pressures from your culture or from society or from your friends or from your parents that you're at a certain age and you're single. And you maybe even have your own internal pressures. And that's a really hard thing as a woman, because you start to date and you start to get into relationships by possibly lowering your standards because you want this, you know, magical, you know, white picket fence with, you know, two kids and a dog named Sparky or whatever have you. And I always have to take my clients back a bit and be like, you are whole completely on your own. And it's better to be by yourself than be in the wrong relationship, right? With and have children. If you, you know, I think I wrote a blog post about this, but I think the number is like, if you marry somebody for 30 years, you end up having, like, if you had lunch, breakfast, and dinner with them, something like 30,000 meals, right? So you better love the person that you're with, let alone want to have children with them. So for me, the whole family thing is very important for me. I do want children, but I'm not going to lower my standards and who and what life partner I want in order to have that, to facilitate that, right? And I say the same thing to my clients, just slow down and you can get that, but you're not going to get that if you're searching for it so hard. It's like grabbing, you know, a handful of sand. And if you want to grab sand, you grab onto it, it's going to fall all the way through your fingers, right? You have to be whole and grounded and be confident to know what you want to attract in order to attract the person that you should be with. That's what I believe. So yeah, I said, when we touch on the child topic, you know, it's a sensitive topic for women in particular, around the 30 age mark, 35 and whatnot. But we also live in a society where, you know, there's other ways you can have children. You can always adopt if you really wanted to, you can always do in vitro, you can do other forms, right? So we're lucky now that it's a little bit different. But in saying that, I always say, if the number one reason for you wanting to, you know, date right now is because you want to have that family, you want it so bad, I always tell my clients, we're going to take a step away from dating right now. We're actually going to step away from dating. We're not going to date. We're going to do a clean slate and we're going to work on exactly why you're feeling that way. Why do you want that so bad? Why aren't you whole right now on your own?
Yeah, I love that. And I wish I had that conversation when I was like 25, for sure. Cause like, you know, you rush into these things, like, you know, I don't know if you know my story, but I got married at 25, really young. My ex was like, you know, she was pregnant at the time. So my family was super hardcore Catholic. We weren't going to have this baby at a wedlock. And so there's like a wedding planned within 3 months and it was just absolute insanity. But yeah, like, it's just, it's crazy how society and what other people want from you, or what they expect from you, or even like your own biological clock. Like I call that with the men, we call it baby rabies, right? Like when the girls got the itch to, you know, you can kind of see that, right? There's a lot of desperation in her, in that woman. And so I love how you take that woman out of that and say, you know what, you need to stop this right now, because you're going to get into the relationship that you're probably not going to want to get into, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, like I said, I wish I had this information. So I've seen a lot of rise with like relationship experts and coaches, and so I'm loving how, you know, we're all coming together and you know, having these discussions, because when we have more discussions like this, we can come up with the best case scenarios for our clients, and then we can have better results for them and stuff like that. So I appreciate this conversation that we're having. I want to take you to the part of the show where we get to know you a little bit better. We've been pretty serious this whole segment for now, so it's kind of lighthearted. It's just a rapid fire, five random questions I'm going to fire at you, just to get to know you a little bit. Maybe the audience can connect with you a little bit deeper. So you ready for that?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's do this. If you could go, if you could be any animal in the world right now, what animal would you be and why?
I would be a cheetah. Because they're fast, I think they're sexy, and I like their print.
Fair enough. If you could hop on a plane right now, obviously like post-COVID, maybe you can go anywhere in the world, where would you go and why?
I would probably go to Mykonos, Greece, because that island is beautiful and I love Greece, and I'm also a quarter Greek.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Now that we're there, this is total random. This is not... you said you were half Asian. Are you Chinese? Is it Chinese and then Greek, and Greek? You said it's a quarter Greek, and then what's the other quarter?
I'm half Chinese, a quarter Greek, and a quarter Finnish.
Okay, so is your mom the quarter Greek and quarter Finnish?
My mom's half Greek, half Finnish. My dad's a Chinese one.
Oh, interesting. Wow. So your mom's got a thing for Asian guys. That's cool.
I guess
it's
so.
like that out in BC, right? It's not like that in BC.
Yeah. There's a lot of mixes out in BC for sure.
Well, yeah, Canada, we see a lot of that. I mean, our immigration was in the 70s was so loose, so like everybody jumped to upshift Canada, so it makes sense. What is your favorite book right now, or something that you're reading that you'd like to share with us?
It's called The Originals by Adam Grant, and it's interesting. It talks about like people who entrepreneurs, people who do startups, different traits that they have. It also talks about, I'm on the chapter right now talking about how procrastination is actually a good thing for the creative mind. So it's a pretty good book so far.
What was it called? I'm writing this down. The Originals by?
Originals, yeah. Adam Grant.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for new books. So this question is actually for me. if you can meet someone who is passed away, or it doesn't have to be a famous celebrity or anything, but you want to have a conversation or have dinner with them, what would it be and why?
Maybe Winston Churchill, just to see how he handled all the pressures of the world during World War II. I'm a history dork, so.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I love that. For sure. I mean, we get a lot of dead presidents on the show just because, I mean, they were ruling at times where, like, it would have been nice to have that insight, you know what I mean? Before
for sure.
They kind of went, you know, so no, I appreciate that. Okay, the last question of the random five, do you have any weird eating habits? Do you ever get called out for, I don't know, doing something funny at the dinner table or something like that? Is it like,
I put sriracha on everything.
Like even candy.
Okay, not candy. Okay, anything savory. I used to have like a sriracha keychain. I had on my keys, and I'd bring it with me places. So yeah, it's
I need one of those.
Yeah.
I definitely need one of those. Okay, no, that's awesome. So this is a great. A question to ask for me, because like I don't know, I'm just a foodie at heart. So okay, cool. Well, segue from the random five, so this is kind of cool, lighthearted. I just want to take a moment to acknowledge you, you know, for doing what you do. I mean, it's not hard, it's not easy to come out of like that rigorous 9-to-5, being in social work and social services, and then having this rigidity and then coming out and saying, you know what, F it, I'm gonna create a business that's gonna impact the world. So, you know, it's very admirable, and it's really warm, you know, hearted coming from you. So I'll definitely promote any woman, I guess, in that stage, you know, in that relationship
stage
to come back for sure. But the question is, how do they get a hold of you? So you have a bunch of things going on right now. I want to bring that up actually. So you have a couple quizzes, you have some courses you have to offer, you have some books and stuff like that that I would love to get into. You know, share what you want to share with us and see how we can get even more connected to you.
For sure. So the best way to probably get a hold of me is just going to my website. It's shannachow.com. On my website, you'll find links to all my social media. So my main social media Instagram account is Shanna_Chow for dating relationships. I'm also a writer. I have two books published of poetry. My writing accounts for Instagram is Shanna M. Chow. I also have a YouTube channel as well, where I release weekly videos on dating and relationships. And with my programs, so right now I have a program called Do You Boo. It's focused only for women that are experiencing dating burnout, which I just basically explained, women that maybe are getting too laser focused on wanting the family and need to take a step away from the dating world. So that's called Do You Boo. I also do have packages for people that are experiencing conflict in their relationship. It's called Relationship Clarity. They're 4-week, 8-week, or 12-week packages. What I do focus a lot with my clients is if they should stay or if they should go in a relationship. So we work through the four pillars of basically decision making, making a game plan, making you accountable, and getting through the barriers of, you know, going through a breakup if that's what you decide to do. And that's about it, except my two books as well. I have two books. My most recent one was published in 2019 called I Tried to Write Love Poems. And my one previous that was published in 2017 called Love Gone Savage, a book of poetry, both written to help women and men as well going through heartbreak, adversity, and to help them get motivation to overcome.
I find that super healing just to read as well. Like when you can hear other people's pain so eloquently displayed, and then their triumphs in overcoming that, it's just it's actually positive for you to make a change in yourself. So I'd love to grab a copy of those actually. So I'll link those up in the show notes so you guys can get one as well, and support Shanna. She's an awesome human being, and I know you're gonna do well with you know, everything that you put out in the world. So I appreciate you, and we're gonna take you to the end of the show. I have a couple last questions here for you.
Sure.
One I never really ask most people, but I figure I throw this one in just because like I'm always curious as to you know, like how I can best serve my guests. And so one of the questions that I'm going to ask you is, you know, what are you seeing for yourself in the next 2 to 3 years? I know it's so cliche to ask, but like, you know, what's something on the horizon for you? Is there something that you want to create in that time, or what do you see yourself doing?
Well, I see myself doing, hopefully after all of this has, you know, social distancing has gone away, I'd like to do a lot of speaking events to, you know, send out the message, send out the positivity to anybody going through heartbreak or going through a breakup. I'd also like to, you know, facilitate some sort of workshops to help people in person, because my business is predominantly, you know, online through Zoom. Right. And I also want to do a third book in time to kind of tie all three books of poetry together. It's my passion project. And I also am going to be working on a program for helping people going through a breakup, deciding if they should stay or if they should leave.
Love that. And so you guys heard her, obviously, you know, follow Shanna's journey. I'm going to be following that journey as well too. And then maybe we can reference this podcast and have you back on the show at one point. This is great. And anybody, you know, curious to know more, you know, definitely hit her up. And are you DM friendly? You want to, open to DMs?
DM me.
Okay. So hit her up in the DMs. Probably one of the quickest ways I find, like in this day and age, people want things real fast. And so go up into DMs, you know, that's probably the best way, but I'll put all those links in the show notes. I'm definitely going to be asking you something after this, this recording too. So it's going to be related to that, but most people, so this is the last question I'm going to take you to the last part of the show. Most people find me, you know, at the end of a divorce or a bad breakup, and heartbreak, you know, you mentioned before, is something that you focus on. And so I'd love to hear your opinion on it. But a lot of people do come to me, you know, wanting to know how can I get over this heartbreak? And it shows up either in the breakup or even a death in the family or even bankruptcy, you know, COVID times, like people are really, really hurting right now. You know, what's that piece of advice that you'd offer to somebody who's really down and out right now?
Really down and out is that I always like to say, can you think of somebody that you know around you that has gone through a really hard time? A celebrity, say, do you know a celebrity who, you know, say was a victim of domestic abuse, or somebody who lost somebody, loved one, or somebody who, you know, had a drug addiction, whatever the situation is, can you think of that person and that they overcame it? And they say, yeah. And I say, okay, well, why can't you overcome it? If they can do it, why can't you? You can do it. If people have done it before, you can do it as well. And I know it's a very hard thing to say when someone's maybe going through the emotions. I always say to my clients that it takes time, it takes work, and it takes you wanting to put yourself first. And if you agree that you're worth it to put yourself first, then it'll come a lot easier and quicker instead of you fighting it. So it's about being present in your feelings and knowing that it's okay to feel this way. And it's also okay to ask for help and be a little bit vulnerable.
Beauty. Shanna Chow, thank you so much for coming on the show. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.